Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping their meat and their stories they tell in the middle of the squared circle. I'm, of course, one of your hosts. I'm GB. Joining us this week, we'll intro Jake here, because look at his beautiful face right there. Look at him, just looking majestic as always. But we have a guest this week joining us. Figured it'd be better to introduce him last. We have Scan, our editor, who you have seen a few times on the show in the past, will be joining us here. So, Scan, pleasure to have you here, buddy.
Thank you, as always.
Matt is going to be off to the... to the Motor City for this week, so we'll hopefully be able to see him next week, and yeah, all that good stuff. But Scan, pleasure to have you here, bud. How you doing?
Doing well, man. It's interesting last week insofar as a lot of decisions that happen in the wrestling world, for sure. But I think a lot of really good directions that a lot of things are going as well. So excited to talk about it.
Oh yeah, it's it is definitely going to be There's a lot of crap that happened. Jake, you want to jump right into it, or
sure, let's do it.
Yeah, you want to do it? All right, let's do it. Let's fly right into it, because, like we said, there is a lot to discuss. And by the way, we do want to let everyone know that don't forget to subscribe on YouTube if you are a YouTube enjoyer like a lot of us. Or you can follow us across all the social media platforms, Rebook Pod. You can also find us at rebookpod.com. Let's go ahead and jump into our first topic, and it's the doozy. We figured, since last week we started with AEW All In, talking about how that show went and there were the ramifications that'll come from that, let's talk about TNA Slammiversary. Holy crap. I didn't expect it to go the way that it went. We had our predictions last week. And yeah, I mean, let's just get overall top down thoughts on the show. Jake, what'd you think on it?
I thought it was a great show with bad booking.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. Scan, you share the same sentiment?
I think the quality of the show itself was great, but this is one of those situations where, you know, it's kind of becoming a motto of the show: predictable doesn't mean bad. The predictable was there. For many people, the right obvious move was there on multiple. In multiple matches,
yeah,
and it didn't work out the way everyone thought it would, which is both, you know, a little worrying, but at the same time also in a weird way intriguing. I would say, at least trying to find a little bit of a silver lining around the booking. Yeah. But
and that's kind of been my takeaway from it, where it's like I get it, and I'm with everyone on the frustrations. It does make a lot of sense. But the events that did happen, like the matches that did occur and what we did get, like you said, Jake, were genuinely stupendous. I mean, you know, I think one match we start with, one of the bright spots, without a doubt, was the Leon Slater Moose matchup, because that one undoubtedly was not just entertaining, but it had such a great story. Both men worked an incredible match, told a great story in the ring. And it feels like of everything, of all the decisions that were made on this show, hands down, this was the best decision that they made. And I think we all are in agreement in that one, because we predicted Leon to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
Now, what happened after the fact, it seemed like it was nice. It was good. AJ Styles came out. But that's when I was like, man, I was really hoping for a little bit something else, but it was okay. It was fine. I mean, AJ Styles came back. He came back to the original music, so everyone really liked it. It was a good moment, and it was like a cool, you know, passing of the torch. But I did want to talk about Moose, because at the end of the match, Moose put the belt around Leon Slater's waist as a show of respect. Do we think, Scan, that given how the system have kind of been the fighters of TNA, do we see a world where maybe Moose becomes a face again, perhaps?
I do kind of think that's where this is going, yeah. It was a very uncharacteristic move of Moose, putting the belt on Leon Slater at the end of the match, passing the torch the way that he did, giving him the props that he deserved after, I would say, probably the best match of the night overall. Like, yeah. And there were some very, very good matches on this card. Like, not we're going to... not a match we're going to talk a ton about. But you know, the opener, Cedric Alexander,
that was incredible.
Ali was another fantastic match, but this was somehow even better to me, just in terms of the storyline, everything that was pushed forward. And like you said, the system, they won also their match earlier in the night. They won over Dark State from NXT. So I can see Moose getting involved on that front there, being, and the system being the real representation of NXT, I'm sorry, of TNA showing up more often on NXT moving forward and being the real spearhead, I think, of possibly even getting Moose back into the title picture, maybe? Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, I do see a world where Jake, we go to like maybe some big multi-man match at Bound for Glory, right? With the system and Dark State, and maybe like, I don't know, someone else who comes in to try and equalize things. Or is that interesting to you? Is that compelling?
I don't know, because I just don't know how it's going to end up being booked.
Yeah, because like, I now mean, everything's like so open. It's so weird, right?
I just don't have, I mean, I don't have any faith that WWE is going to let TNA get anything over on them right now.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't know. Like, if they do have some kind of match for that, then I don't know. I mean, what I want to see is like, is if we're really going to do a TNA versus NXT type thing, then if they're going to do a multi-man match, then I want it to have some kind of repercussions in like the world title matches.
Have some impact.
You know, I want something like that. Yeah.
No pun intended.
You know, where it's like, where it's, you know, oh, if kind of like they did at WrestleMania a couple years ago, if so-and-so wins, then this is the match. If this team wins, then this is the match.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, that can, you know, just
add
some
to
kind of
it.
Significance later on.
Yeah. Just add to it. I do agree. It's like,
because otherwise it's just a match for match's sake, which is fine too. But like, if the point is that we're trying to tell some TNA versus NXT story, then I want it to mean something.
Yeah, I agree. I am of many minds. I wish Matt was here so we could talk about it, which we will talk with Matt about
it. He can't talk about it. He don't talk about shit.
I mean, he's not, obviously he's not going to talk too much because, you know, but I think
it's,
like,
no, it's just going to be, I don't know. I mean, I know how it's going to, I know how it all goes, but I'm not going to say
that. Is an incredible Matt impression. Let's continue to talk about some of the more perplexing spots that had occurred. One of those, for me, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, was the Hardys winning the tag titles in the ladder match. Now, look, I love the Hardys. It was a fantastic match. It really was a good tag match for the competitors that were involved in that match. Hardys being older, you know, AJ Francis nearly freaking
castrating himself.
Like the freaking the Rascals needing a last minute sub, like all the things that could have gone wrong in this match, and it still was entertaining. But Hardy's winning, the ladder coming down from the top of the thing, and then being like, look at the Hardys just always innovating. And I'm just like, I love that. I love when they were saying it was just so odd. And then it gets even more confusing because then Bully Ray comes out and basically says,
alone,
by the way, and says, hey, Team 3D is going to challenge you guys for the title. And let's do it one more time at Bound for Glory. And I'm like, what? Why? And that, Scan, that's what I'm left. I'm like, I don't really understand it. And I get it like from the, you know, historical perspective. But man, talk about just completely sidelining your tag division because of this. Or am I misreading it?
No, I don't think you are misreading it. It was awkward It was honestly an awkward ending to that.
No D-Von. Like, D-Von didn't even come out. So yeah.
they were chanting at him, "Where is D-Von?" Like, the crowd was chanting that at when he was in the ring. And like, it's a perplexing move. Like, I get it, but it's like almost right there in that same vein of that Goldberg retirement match that just happened, of this kind of like shoehorned in, okay, in now match, we suddenly Gunther, need to build for this.
Gunther benefited from it, you know. Gunther True. Beat Goldberg, right? Like, that worked
yeah,
out.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I mean, Hardys are gonna beat Team 3D. I mean, do like, oh, like Jake, do we
what
realistically
a notch on their belt?
Yeah, I mean, like, do we realistically think Team 3D is going to be the TNA tag champions? Like,
realistically think Trick Williams was going to win the main event this
weekend?
We'll
talk about that in a second, but fair point. Jake, what do you think?
I just, like, what happened to riding out in the sunset? Like, yeah. why does everybody feel they have to die on their shield in the ring?
Yeah.
Just go.
Also, this doesn't need to be for a title.
It's fine. It never needed to be for a title, which is what it feels like the whole point of them fucking winning was. Why do the titles need to be on the line for you to have the Hardys against Team 3D?
Yeah.
They don't. They don't need to be on the line. Like, it does nothing to raise the stakes to me.
Yeah.
At all. I am so uninterested in this match.
I will say, though, one thing that I kind of sort of hope coming out of this, or in the buildup to this, is that we kind of get a little bit of a blow up of the TNA tag division. Maybe get new teams forming with new wrestlers or going in different directions, because it feels like they've used up all of their resources at this point with the tag teams that they have available to them. What other face tag teams are there that could really, you know, like, challenge for that spot? It's really just the Hardys, you know, like the Rascals, yes, but they've been tag champs so many times. So it's like, they need to kind of like rejuvenate this division. Maybe this is what they do use to do it. Maybe. I don't think it is.
Oh, maybe they bring in a WWE tag team to win mm-hmm. those too.
I mean, honestly, at this point, yeah, probably. That's probably going to be the rate that it goes at. So that's going to happen. Bound for Glory.
I just like, I mean, I don't know why, like, this is a great match 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But like, look, they're not the same. Like, you can't tell me that they're going to deliver anything on the same level. Not even athletically. I like that aside. I just, it's just.
Yeah. And I know Bully Ray still wrestles.
Everything now with Bully Ray, his entire thing is like, sing along with Bully Ray. Hey, let's do the tables thing. And like, that's it. That's yeah. it. Like, just like, I, there's nothing wrong with an athlete, a wrestler, just riding off in the sunset, man. Like, I understand it's still in your blood, and I understand like it's something that you still, but like,
I just think that you didn't need to do it for the tag titles, and you could have just, and also Bound for Glory is like a ways out. I mean, we're talking, he said Bound for Glory, right? Yeah, that's October. So yeah. we're talking 2 months of the Hardys being tag champs and them just waiting for a match with Team 3D for 2 months. And they'll probably have a few good defenses in there on Impact. It's probably going to be a good one on Victory Road. But 2 months, that's crazy. We had our first perplexing decision that happened on the show, which was our women's championship match, or a knockouts championship match between Masha Slamovich and JC Jane. Oops, excuse me. This one was, look, it was a great match. I also do want to say, I find it quite funny that they kind of just took the Fatal Influence gimmick that Mandy Rose had and then just copy pasted it onto JC Jane and Fatal Attraction, I think is their name, right? Yep. Is that, yeah, so like, yep. And I confuse it to all the time because it's, and I don't want to be disparaging, but it is a copy and paste type of, you know, gimmick, which is pretty standard. So it's not like it's that crazy. JC Jane is really good though. This was like the first time I actually did sit down and like watch a JC Jane match, was impressed. You could definitely tell a product of the WWE NXT system. So very, very good wrestler, very, you know, clean. At the same time, though, I thought that it was a transitional title reign to Masha. And turns out, nope, not the case. JC Jane is the first ever TNA NXT simultaneous champion, which is an awesome achievement for her. But, man, Jake, what the fuck?
I don't know.
So, I don't know. I see and what I, they're
am
doing.
I granted, do you?
Yeah. I mean, look, you're going to go.
Then please fucking enlighten the rest of us because here's
how this goes. Okay. And I understand it to an extent, but it's just the optics don't look that great. This is obviously going to a TNA kind of like, you know, sweep at Bound for Glory, right? Because here's the deal, and you cannot ignore this. This was TNA's biggest show ever, right? Trick Williams as champion drew the biggest show ever for TNA. So that is a big deal, right? As champion. And the main event drew Joe Hendry, Trick Williams, Mike Santana drew that kind of a crowd. That was over 7,000 somewhat people. Now, it could have been an easy play to just put the TNA titles back on everyone else and then see where you go from there. But there is an opportunity here for TNA to build off of this with an even bigger show at Bound for Glory, because now it's like everyone is feeling the anticipation even more. That being said, if they don't pull the trigger then and it's still the same thing, or they don't, now they're in shark infested waters at this point. Now they're, or rather not shark infested. Now they're on the deep end, I should say. They're more on the deep end here because now you got to stick the landing.
Sharks, Lou.
Yeah, I guess so. you got to stick the landing in this instance, Scan. And that's where I'm a little worried because I don't know if they're necessarily going to, given how they even did this one, right? Where it kind of just like faded away.
They doubled down here. They doubled down on Bound for Glory. They have to make this the biggest show TNA has ever had, just after the biggest show that TNA has ever had.
Yeah.
Now, of all the decisions that were made booking-wise on this show, this is the one I actually think has the most potential to be something really cool, because the payoff for this, especially if you start getting Jordynne Grace back involved with this, could be very, very interesting. Now, I'm not wanting to fantasy book or anything like that.
Do it.
So, the other week, you mentioned a match that happened in the past when Kurt Angle was the Eurocontinental champion and lost both of those belts in a match without being pinned. I could see a really cool situation building up to Bound for Glory where JC Jane loses both of those belts in a three-way match against Jordynne Grace and Masha Slamovic. But Masha wins the NXT title and Jordynne wins the TNA title. And I would really love to see how the fallout of that would happen. And that match, I could imagine the match versus those two happening maybe at I keep saying the opposite when I mean the other, happening at an NXT event.
Yeah.
But of all the things coming out of this, this is the match that I think could have the most story. And credit to JC. I think she's actually done a great job as champion. She was supposed to be the most beatable champion in NXT history, and she's absolutely not.
Yeah.
So credit to her.
My only thing about that, and I like the idea. My only issue with that is, like, Jordynne Grace just left TNA as one of the more successful knockouts champions, excuse me. For her to then on a TNA pay-per-view win the Knockouts Championship back, it just feels like a step in a weird direction for her when she should be focusing on her WWE career moving forward. That being said, I don't hate the idea because, in fact, I quite like it because you can still do it. You just do it and the chips fall exactly where people work and are employed. The only problem is that it's not as compelling when you come out of that, because it's like, okay, I was pretty obvious as to where that was going to go. And I guess that kind of leads to the issue that I do kind of have with this, is that the struggle that the division's been having has been building up a new star. Thankfully, Indy Hartwell is there. And I actually would like to see Indy Hartwell maybe be one of the individuals that's more mixed up in the title picture. She just beat a freaking world champion. She beat Tessa Blanchard, you know? So that's, and that was what she said in the promo before she got viciously attacked. But so I think, Jake, that, you know, maybe the stocks are going to be more toward Indy Hartwell and we start building her road to Bound for Glory. What do you think about that rather than Masha?
I don't know, man. I don't know if WWE is going to want to let someone that they just let go win the title.
Win the TNA title.
Or be involved. I mean, like, if it, I mean, I don't know.
I think so. I think, like, that would, you know, she's a TNA wrestler now, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe we're jumping the gun here, and maybe if Matt was here, he'll tell us we'll be jumping the gun. But I don't know. I think, like, the win at Slammiversary kind of told me that the stocks are in Indy Hartwell now for them. And
yeah, but we also anticipated that she was going to win. Like, this is not, I don't think this is like a big surprise that she won. And I think it's just being done to continue to build up the Knockouts division. Like,
yeah,
we need some more people who can be seen as threats. And like, I'm sorry, but they're just not going to put the title on Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, they're not.
For obvious reasons. So, you know, they need to build up other people. And, you know, a lot of the women seem to be involved in the tag division right now, and there's not like a lot of singles.
Yeah. I do see
right now.
Now that JC Jane is the champion, though, I am excited for the Ash by Elegance JC Jane match. But let us move to the big one, the main event. I am going to say it was really, really dope. The best entrances TNA has done. So shout out to TNA on the production front. Very, very entertaining. And I quite liked all of that. And then the match was good. I also want to say the match was also good. It was, there were some great moments there. All three guys had their moments. As we all know, Santana hits him with the finisher. Trick tosses him out. Joe is laying down. Trick gets the pin. He's still the champion. Jake, we called Mike Santana. We felt like all the pieces were lining up, and they gone and hit us with a WrestleMania 39. What do you make of it?
Yes, I think it's a great decision to have born and raised in New York Mike Santana lose the match so that he can then possibly go win it in Lowell, Massachusetts.
I mean, yeah, that is, yeah, they're Puerto Ricans in Massachusetts, though. Don't sleep on it. I don't know if we made it out to Lowell, though, that ass, but we might have. You know,
I went to college in Boston. You're out there. You're good.
There you go. We're chilling. I mean, I don't know. I kind of get it. I see it. The problem I had is it made every TNA wrestler feel like a dud.
Afterthought.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the problem I have with it. Like, oh, okay. Well, we're setting up a sweep at Bound for Glory. For what? So we can return to the status quo? What did TNA gain out of that? Like, that's what's frustrating about it. Like, I even posted online about this. Like, look, being in this industry as long as I have done so many gigs for exposure. But at some point, like, you need to realize your worth and fucking get what you deserve out of it. Mm. And there needs to be some sort of, like, and look, I understand that TNA is not on the same level as WWE. I get that, but they won't ever get there if WWE is standing on their head trying to gain a little inch on AEW. That's not like how all this shit should work. That's not how this world should work. That's not how this industry should work. I mean, the term standing on the shoulders of giants comes to mind, but instead of standing on the shoulders of giants, the giants are standing on the little people, the smaller people, like I said, just trying to get that little bit, and it doesn't seem like it's helping the smaller guy yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I just want, and I'm not saying that TNA has to go in there and be like, and sweep every NXT, but give them something. That's what's so annoying and frustrating about this is, like, it is now feeling predictable in an unfun way.
Yeah, because they've had so many clashes at this point, and like the well, what's weird is that this was not as predictable. I will say, none of us predicted this. I don't think anyone really thought that this was a possibility.
But moving forward, like, it just, like, it's approaching Death Rider shit to me. Of just like, you know, if this isn't really going to go anywhere that's going to benefit TNA or seem like it does, then I'd rather it be done.
Yeah, there was also there was a Reddit post. Someone's like, Trick Williams, the TNA World Champion, is going to have a segment with Undertaker on WWE TV, and I'm like, it would have been better if it was a TNA wrestler having a segment with the Undertaker on WWE TV. But instead it's just Trick, which is like, I mean, Trick is great. I do want to also say though that I really do like Trick Williams. Like, he is phenomenal. Like, I'm yeah, a big, I mean,
none
fan
of this
of
is none of this is on him.
Yeah, none of this is on any of the people, you know, that it's purely from, like, the booking and the narrative that they're trying to tell. And it just feels not just predictable, but it's a little exhausting. And I think that's where, you know, the frustration is coming from. And on a night when, like, AJ Styles comes back to Slammiversary and all that, right? He doesn't even come back for a match. He just comes back to tell everyone, oh, hey, love you guys. It was great to be here. All right, peace. Maybe they could build off of that. Maybe there's something they could do with it down the line. Like, I was thinking it'd be really nice if, like, AJ Styles maybe challenged Trick Williams, or maybe AJ Styles challenged, like, Mike Santana, and they had, like, a one-on-one match. Maybe it's, like, a way for AJ to be like, let's see if you can really hold the torch for TNA, right? Like something to that effect. I don't know. I just wish that something had came from that rather than, like, hey, guys, I'm here. It's great to be here again. That was my only issue with that. And now we have seemingly no direction scan for the main event in TNA right now.
The only direction, or like the one that I can come up with coming out of this, is Santana was not the man pinned.
Yeah.
Joe Hendry was.
That is very true.
Joe Hendry's now been pinned twice by Trick Williams for the TNA championship. Once as a defense, once to win the championship.
He's out. He's done.
Yeah, exactly. That at this point, this is in terms of Joe Hendry's future, not even looking at Santana and Trick, because those two, it feels obvious to me, that's the match at Bound for Glory, and that's going to happen one way or another. But what happens with Joe Hendry moving forward, where, again, as you kind of mentioned the other week, are we now going to see a Joe Hendry who doesn't believe in himself anymore? That twice, when he's had the opportunity to save TNA, or at least hold up the honor of TNA, he has been the one who has failed at the end of the day. Sure, Santana hit the finisher, but at the end of the day, Trick pinned Joe.
Yeah.
So where he goes forward, whether he has to have a match with someone to kind of restore his own faith in himself, or if this leads to a totally new direction for Joe Hendry, I'm interested in seeing where that goes out of this match.
Yeah, I think when Frankie Kazarian's probably a good pathway for him in that one, right?
It could be. Absolutely. Frankie could be a good path for him. Absolutely. He's been circling the title picture for a while as well. But when it comes to the title, when it comes to...
Hadn't Macklin been asking for challengers? Mm-hmm.
I know, be. Dude. Macklin, I'm... That's frustrating. Honestly, it screams WWE. Like, introduce a new belt and just do nothing with it. Hopefully they can get Macklin, you know, something on the road for Bound for Glory. But yeah, that is that's another one that's kind of bumming me out. But yeah, I mean, anything else we want to add on this? I mean, we're just waiting and seeing at this point, you know.
Yeah, it's right? All we can do.
I mean, Mike Santana and Trick. That seems to be the direction, right? Unless out of nowhere Hulk Hogan shows up and decides he wants to be the one to save TNA. In which case, time to pack it up, folks.
Yeah, we're done there.
All right. So look, maybe we're a little down on TNA right now, but hey, you know, if there's
I do want to emphasize that, because the matches that WWE didn't seem to have a hand in were fun.
Yeah, it's actually very true.
They were good matches.
It's actually very true. But let's go ahead and shift our focus over toward WWE, because SummerSlam is starting to take shape, and we are seeing a lot of the matches now. I'm gonna see if I can actually go to the site and pull up the card, but yeah, I mean, overall it's looking like it's going to be a pretty stacked show. We have, as far as confirmed matches goes, we have a tag championship match, women's intercontinental United States championship in a steel cage. We'll talk more about that in a second, as well as the women's world, all the women's matches set up, and even the heavyweight championship matches are all set as well. And we'll dive into this, but I guess the question on my mind is which match kind of speaks to you outside of the US one, because we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Which one speaks to you guys currently? Scan, we'll start with you.
This one was just confirmed last match, because now he is medically clear. Dominic Mysterio versus AJ Styles for the Intercontinental title.
That is right. I forgot that got locked in.
That to me has been such a fun build. They're both having such a great time with it. AJ was a riot on Raw this week, being the valet, being the medical guy, just doing everything he can to harass Dom, has been like one of the highlights of Monday Night Raw for me for the last few weeks.
Yeah,
it's going to be, this is, would you say this is the biggest match of Dominic Mysterio's career? It's got to be. It's Dominic Mysterio versus AJ Styles, which is going to be one of the headlining matches at SummerSlam, which I like. Hats off to Dom. I think he's had a great reign so far. But him versus AJ, this is going to be the most fun build going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, and
what I'm paying the most attention
and
to.
And I definitely don't see a world where Dom, this is a great opportunity for Dom to really show people why he won the belt to begin with, why he's been in this position. Jake has been doing some great work. He really does deserve this. And I think him and AJ Styles are going to have to Scan's point, a banger of a match. What do you think about this one?
I think they already have great chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, we see it in the backstage segments, and it's just, you know, it's one of those situations where you can tell that all the parties involved are having fun and enjoying doing it. And I think that goes a long way to ultimately being a good match. So yeah. I think that it's going to, I mean, AJ Styles is like shockingly funny. Mm-hmm. Like he's got great timing. And you know, when they really let him go and just kind of do this kind of stuff, he's so funny. But like you said, the valet stuff and whatever, but
don't listen to him, God.
Yeah. That was where he's on it, when he's on his knees praying last week, was really great too.
Yeah.
I think of course it's going to be a great match. I mean, Dom has grown so much as a competitor and an in-ring performer, and AJ Styles is a Hall of Famer. Like, yep. They're, you know,
still AJ Styles.
Still, yeah, he's still AJ Styles.
Still one of the GOATs, if not the, you know, to many people. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So of course I think it's going to be a great match.
What match are you looking forward to then? Outside of that one, anything else you got your eyes on?
Oh, for sure, it's Jelly Roll and Orton.
I'm gonna pull this graphic up here. Oh God, yeah,
got a good choke slam.
Can you really be called Jelly Roll if you've lost that much weight?
Can
you still be called Jelly Roll?
He looks good though. Good for him.
No, yeah, he looks good. Yeah.
Low sugar Jelly Roll.
Well, I guess.
Low sugar Jelly Roll.
Sugar free Jelly Roll.
I don't know really much about Jelly Roll. I don't listen to any of his music, so this doesn't really speak to me at all. And I absolutely do not like Logan Paul as a person. So for me, I'm kind of cool on this, but just, you know, this is just one of those very WWE type of things where they get all these celebrities and they do it well. Like, I think Jelly Roll is probably going to be a pleasant surprise. I think he's going to put in some work and people are going to enjoy it. I don't think it's going to be no Bad Bunny. You know what I mean? Bad Bunny was
the bathroom match for me.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the bathroom match.
This is go to the bathroom, grab another piece of pizza.
Any actual match has your interest?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm looking forward to Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyrie.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
I just, like, they have yet to put on a match that wasn't great. I really liked the triple threat. I don't know how I feel about the stipulations.
The new stipulation that if Lyra Valkyrie loses, she cannot challenge for the Intercontinental title ever again.
Well, also in it being no DQ, no count out.
Yeah.
I don't know, especially with that really seems like a stupid decision on Lyra's part, because you still have the lingering issue of Bayley.
Yeah.
What is she going to do? How is she going to react?
And where do you, really see Lyra going if she loses this?
That's the thing too. Yeah. Like it just feels like you've banished her.
Nether Realm, and her only option is to go to the main event, but she just lost to a multi-time world champion, so how could she hope to contend in the main event if she can't beat a world champion in a title match for a belt that she previously had? The logic won't work that well.
Yeah, exactly. So this does feel like the big payoff match. Yeah. Like I think this will be the end of it regardless. I don't think it'll be the end of Bailey's involvement. I think, what I ultimately see happening is Lyra getting the championship back and then Bailey immediately either attacking or challenging her.
Yeah.
It's been a good storyline. I mean, I've really enjoyed it because, like I said, their matches have been great. And we talked about this months ago about Lyra needing to be built up as a competitor when she was already holding the title.
Yeah.
And I think that she has. I think people are more excited to see her come out and have her matches now. And I think she's started to get comfortable on this main roster.
Yeah.
And her performances have been great, both on the mic and in the ring. So, and Becky's as good as ever. I love her embracing the Becky Hogan stuff and secretly wearing yellow and red combinations.
Yeah.
Or not even so secretly, but I'm really digging that. And I think that match is going to be really good.
I think so too.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I mean, the triple threat was great. So, I do think it is a shame because that match was so good. It would have been the match everyone talked about.
If it hadn't been outshined
by Io and Rhea, which is also an understandable circumstance too. Mm-hmm. Just goes to show you the quality of like right now. And I think we all can be in agreement on this. It doesn't matter where you are watching it. Women's wrestling is incredible right now. It's AEW, all the women knocking out of the park. TNA, I think the knockouts tag division is fantastic. They still got to work on the main event team, but they're getting there. And WWE has consistently been great, for the women. So it's just an awesome thing to see. I will say the match that I'm kind of sort of excited for, but I'm not like, oh my God, this is going to be great. It's CM Punk and Gunther. I'm actually looking forward to CM Punk and Gunther. I think that you know, yes, are we like, is CM Punk going to give you like a 5-star Ring of Honor banger? You know, like, no, this isn't happening anymore. But if what we've learned from Gunther is that all Gunther does is just shit brilliant. Like, the man can go into the ring and flat out just put on a banger. It's a lot like Sheamus. It's a lot like Drew McIntyre. You know, it's a lot of these, you know, dudes from across the pond and around the world just are incredibly consistent. But I also think, though, that like CM Punk, he's in his, one of the things that he's leaned on to very well, I think, in his later years in this career is he's leaned a lot on like big moments and story and like in the ring and like really he sells really well and all this stuff. So I think if anything, what we're going to get is like Gunther just beating the crap out of CM Punk, like, you know, scrappy, finding a way to get out of it. But I don't know if Punk wins, honestly. But if Punk doesn't win, then I don't know what the hell Punk is really doing in WWE right now. So that's my only real worry. But outside of that, I am looking forward to this matchup. Is this one you guys are interested in at all? Or Scan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's Gunther versus CM Punk. Of course, I'm interested in it at the very least. But like, it's interesting, the promo that they had last night where, you know, Gunther is...
I didn't get a chance to see it, too.
You know, Gunther, very, very straightforward. You keep calling yourself the best in the world. The best in the world is the man who has this belt. I have this belt right now, and the one line that he had near the end of his promo that I did really like was, I'm going to make you wish you never stepped foot in a wrestling ring. Not like never stepped foot in a wrestling ring again. Not that he like came back from retirement and anything like that. Flat out, you're going to wish you were never a wrestler. And that was a kind of surprising line to me.
I would like to
Punk
see...
Punk needs to fire back.
I would like to see Gunther brutalize the shit out of CM Punk. I think that would be, Jake, appealing. I don't know. Am I crazy?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think Gunther needs to get a little of his mystique back. Because if you notice, everybody, you know, loves chanting the "you tapped out." And that's still following him around. So I think that he could stand to use some of that mystique back. Oh, and by the way, while I'm on the topic of chants, if you participate in or start a what chant,
dude,
fuck you.
Dude, it's just so freaking cringe at this point. It's like, it's funny when it's Stone Cold, okay? It's fun when it's Stone Cold. He plays into it very well. But good God, like, what are we doing it for? You know, like, we're just doing it just to do it? Like that's what it feels like, you know? Like, the what chants aren't even like back in the day, it was more like, you know, you said something or you stumbled and it was like, what? And then, like, you know, that's kind of how it would originate. Now people are just doing it just to do it. And I get people suck now.
Just to be assholes.
Yeah, I get, like, we're in a timeline where most people suck. But, like, can we just not suck? I don't know. That's just... I agree with that, Jake. That's a very good read. I did want
to... Anyway, yeah. But yes, I'm very much looking forward to the match. Like Scan said, it's Gunther and Punk. It's going to be great.
How could you not?
But yeah, I'd love to see Gunther squash CM Punk. Not quite Suplex City, but you know, something akin to that.
Chops. I'll take some chops. You know, chop them down like a tree a couple times. You know,
slap chop first.
And they've done a good job building that narrative as well. When he fought Ilya, I forgot, he fought another smaller guy and he was like, you know, having to dodge the chops. That was like a big part of the story. It was pretty good. I did want to take some time before we move on to talk about this Solo Sikoa Jacob Fatu US title match. So it is a steel cage match. It has been confirmed on SmackDown. But the way that it came about, Scan, was just the most WWE thing that they could have possibly done. And I lapped it up. I was like, yes, give me more. Walk me through the series of events, if you can, of what happened that led to the steel cage match.
I mean, you're going to have to lead me through this a little bit as well, to be honest with you, because I didn't catch it. But the one thing that I did see was when he was like, when he was passing Cody.
Yeah.
And just been like, I'm sorry.
So Jacob Fatu gets framed for a was it Jake, a car, like a crash?
Car accident.
Car accident. Yeah. He gets framed for a car accident by Solo Sikoa, and it gets confirmed later on in the show that they were going to put Jacob Fatu in jail. But I loved the fact that the cop came out and Solo is pointing. He's pointing. He's like, get him right there, yeah, right there, right there. The cop, in the most dramatic fashion, just grabs his arm and wraps it around. It was just so silly. But then Adam Pearce comes out and confirms, since you want to put Jacob Fatu in a cage, we'll put you both in a cage. It's a steel cage match for the U.S. title. Thinking about the match at large, Jake, is Solo Sikoa just won the belt? I really would like to see him hold it for a little bit longer, but I do think this is a great way for them to kind of blow off this feud that they've been on for a little while, right? Or do you see more meat on the bone here?
I don't know. I go back and forth because I don't want, you know, like I don't want Jacob Fatu to be caught in the bloodline vortex like so many.
Yeah, the bloodline, the Samoan cinematic universe.
Yes, you know? Exactly. So that's the only thing, is I don't want it to just be this rinse repeat constantly of him fighting the bloodline, you know, because that just seems to happen a lot.
Gonna get repetitive.
But it has been entertaining. I will say that at the very least. And I think the match is gonna be very good. But yeah, honestly, I'd like to see Solo hold on to it more too. Like, he just continues to kind of grow into himself and find who he is and who his character is. And it's really entertaining. And I just, like, I want to keep fostering that. Like,
yeah,
like Fatu knew who he was since day one of joining WWE and has really, like, shown the kind of things that he can do. And Solo has shown potential. And now I think he's realizing that potential. So I just don't know what Jacob Fatu's path is beyond this. I don't know what it is necessarily.
You know, call me crazy, but okay, how long do we have on John Cena's contract?
The end of the year?
End of the year, yeah.
Months.
What if Jacob was the guy?
I think
it's going to be Gunther, ultimately.
Gunther beating Cena?
Yep.
Really?
I don't know why, but... I feel like Gunther beating Cena would be a big deal.
Like a unification, okay.
Well,
I mean, that wouldn't be too bad. You want to talk about Gunther getting his aura back? What better way for him to do that than to be the unified, like, champion? Unified champion.
No.
No, but, like, I mean, that is a way for him to get that energy back. You know what I mean? I think to get that, it could be fascinating. But the only reason why I kind of float Jacob Fatu is there's a few things, right? Like, you know, obviously him as a character, he has gotten so much more play. You get this vibe that, I mean, every time he comes out, the reaction's there. Like, he is very clearly like, hit that next level. I think he doesn't necessarily need the U.S. title right now. I think he can be fighting for the main event. Mm-hmm. He could maybe have a few good feuds against, you know, some of the bigger names as well. That could be quite fascinating. But you're right, it would be fast. I just at this point don't really know where you go with Cena, and because I don't see Cody beating him at SummerSlam. So
I don't either.
Maybe Jacob Fatu could be fascinating. Scan, what's your read on it before we wrap it up?
I mean, we've already seen him go through Punk. He's gone through Randy, like, and those were really the two at the top of my list that I had of, okay, these are going to be, one of these two guys is going to be the last one to beat Cena before he rides out into the sunset and finishes up in December. So with those two not being there, or unless we get a second match
what
with
if
one
it's
of them,
Jay?
That'd be...
That wouldn't be bad.
No, it wouldn't be bad. I would be okay it wouldn't with be Jay. Bad. It wouldn't
the
be
internet
bad.
Will explode.
But yeah, but exactly.
Dude, what's crazy is that his reactions are just out of this world. I mean, when he yeah. came out yeah, for the are. Save last night, it was crazy loud.
Mm-hmm.
Or a face Roman.
That I could see happen as well, where it's just this moment of, they, yes, like, I'm champion just, for 2 years. I'm just not, point. I'm not letting you leave with that belt. That's my belt. You're not leaving with it. Like, and that being all the motivation Roman needs.
Yeah. That actually wouldn't be half bad, Roman and Cena.
Yeah, I just feel like Cena wants to pass the torch, and he doesn't need to do that to a guy who's going to already be on the Mount Rushmore of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So then if he passes the torch, then who do you pass the torch to?
Cody Gunther.
Gunther?
I'm yeah. telling you, I really feel like Gunther can be the guy. I think he could hit, like, if he like keeps going with his heel work, I think he could be honestly Roman-esque.
Mm.
I think he has that potential. He's so good at the character that he plays.
So would Gunther be the heel in this against a face or a heel Cena?
I think they can both be heels. I don't think they necessarily, you know.
Yeah. Also, John Cena could still just be a douche and get cheered, so it doesn't really matter what he right. does at this point. You know, honestly, you're kind of selling me on the Gunther thing. I came into this day wanting to convince you guys about Jacob Fatu, but now I'm convinced on Gunther. You've done it. You've pivoted me. All right. Well, let's take this to our last topic of the day, and that of course brings us to AEW. And this one, I wanted to make it more of an open-ended conversation because right now it's open-ended in AEW. There is no clear direction on storylines. You know, we got a few little tidbits here and there, nothing all that crazy. Like, for example, we know that Athena and Toni Storm are going to be crossing paths fairly often. We haven't really seen Mercedes Moné. Seems like Jon Moxley is still within the orbit of Hangman Adam Page, but I think it might be going into a different direction, and obviously MJF is circling as well. So it's just a little open-ended right now, and I kind of wanted to have that conversation about what does life after All In look like. And then I wanted to talk about this fun stipulation AEW has been leaning on a lot lately. We'll save that one for the later part. But yeah, let's open up the floor. Talk about AEW currently. Scan, we'll start with you. You know, I guess like, Where would you like to see things kind of go? You know, you could pick a championship or an individual and kind of just go with it. But what's compelling to you right now?
I mean, you mentioned Athena and Tony, and I just want to touch on that briefly because, like, that's just going to be magic. It is. They're already cutting hilarious, really fun promos against
yes.
one another
yeah.
over the last few weeks, and that's been fun. But for me, I'm really interested in seeing Swerve and Okada. These two and the way that this makes sense with, and it's surprising to me that it never even came to mind that just like, yeah, Okada might be with the Don Callis family, but he's still friends with the Bucks. So his motivation of being mad about the Bucks losing the EVP status and Swerve just literally coming out to Okada right to his face and going, "What are you going to do about it, bitch?" Like it's just
it was good
this,
it was a little yeah. it was a little sorry to interrupt, but I was just gonna say because I Simon Miller on Ups and Downs gave this a down because he and I think it was justified because he was like he kind of just walked out and then that was it and it's like okay cool this is where we're going. There could have been yeah. at least a little bit more of a creative way to get there, but it seems scanned to your point. They just, you know, decided, screw it. Just have Swerve come out, call him a bitch.
Yeah, which again, if this is bad. The start of something, like yeah. like not that suddenly we're going immediately into a match and that's all we got as the build up for it. That like I just want to see where this is going to go and what Okada is really going to do more than Swerve, because yeah. we know Swerve could do freaking anything. He's Swerve Strickland. He's the most dangerous man in AEW. But what Okada does now that he's the champion and his first defense of this belt, that's what I'm interested to see building out over the next few weeks.
Yeah. Jake, do you share that sentiment as far as the unified championship is concerned?
I mean, I'm interested because of the people involved. Yeah. You know, I've just been so like underwhelmed by what has happened with the title unification and the title that's I don't know, like it just kind of but because it's Swerve and Okada, yeah, I'm very interested in that. It's very early in the stages of it, but I mean, yeah, it obviously has potential.
I kind of want to see them do multiple matches out of this. Like I kind of want Swerve and Okada to be swirling around each other for a hot minute, maybe kind of give some time for Will Ospreay to show up, you know. I think could be kind of sick. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that one. For me, the story that I am interested and want to see where it goes here. Let me go to my notes here real fast. I think that, okay, I know that the Death Riders had a bad rap, but post Death Riders, I think is going to be phenomenal. I think we're in for a fun ride. Because there's two things happening with the Death Riders right now. There is the Chris Statlander equation, where she keeps running into the Death Riders and Wheeler Yuta keeps telling her, like, you see, it's not working out, you see, right? And it's very clear the Death Riders need to, like, up their ranks because they feel like their backs are against a wall. But then there's also this other aspect that I think is really cool, where Darby Allin is channeling his inner Sting from back in the old WCW days with the spotlight and being in the rafters and all this other stuff. And I don't know, I really like that. I like this thing that like Darby Allin is making it his mission to destroy the Death Riders. And in a very like Batman-esque fashion. Does that feel like the direction this is? That is it lead to like a Darby versus the Death Riders destroying them, Jake? Or do you see it maybe just being like just a series of tag matches? Or is anything Death Riders feel appealing to you right now?
Nope,
that's fair. Completely fair.
I mean, like the Statlander thing doesn't really make sense to me because it's like, well, why would you want to join them now?
Yeah, yeah. I think it feels like it's more her and Yuta. Feels like it's her and Yuta.
Yes, but like it's more interesting to me if she convinces Yuta to break off from them.
Yeah.
That's what I'd want to see. I mean, we teased that for so long and then it just fucking went nowhere. I would much rather see an inverse of that. Like, I don't know. Like
It's perfectly fair. I think I'm more interested in Darby and Chris rather than it being the Death Riders necessarily. The Death Riders, the Death Riders as a team and as a concept as well has just been really good bad guy foil. You know, like overall, it's just like a standard generic bad guy. Right. So forget about that, but it's more just like reintroducing Darby into the fold and him, you know, like taking down the Death Riders, I think is a very good. Chris Statlander maybe kind of leaning more into a darker side rather than, you know, because of Wheeler Yuta's influence. And as someone also had mentioned online, they were saying how they want to see how Marina Shafir kind of comes out of all of this, because she's actually the most interesting part of the Death Riders thing for me, just because she was the one that kind of just was inserted and you're like, whoa, that's bizarre. Why is Marina Shafir with John Moxley all of a sudden? But I've been watching her matches on Ring of Honor and stuff, and they're really building up her, like, her really gritty fight style that's like obviously more MMA like, but you know, very aggressive, very John Moxley-esque. So who knows? We'll see what happens there. Jake, what about you? What has been speaking to you in AEW right now, if anything?
I mean, it's Toni Storm and Athena.
Yeah.
I think that you know, feels like it's already hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And so that's and a large part due to the women involved. I mean, like, you know, Athena's been long overdue for something like this. I don't see her winning, but I do see.
I actually do see her winning. I can see her winning.
I see this getting her back involved with Sasha. Jesus Christ, Mercedes Moné.
I mean, maybe. Yeah.
I see that getting back in. You know.
Because you know what?
Something happened with that, but like.
What I wouldn't hate, now that you mention it, is a situation where like Athena gets close to beating Tony and Mercedes is like, no, I can't let that happen. You know, because she beat Athena in the Owen with a roll up pin. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, it was kind of like a squeak away victory. So Jake, I actually think you might be onto something here. That could be pretty fun.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like that's something that can happen. I mean, anything with those three women involved is going to be a lot of fun. But like the promo that both Athena and Tony cut on each other the other night was a lot
balcony.
Of fun.
What I really liked the use of the balcony. I thought that was clever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that a lot, and you know, and Athena's showing already that she can keep up with Tony on the mic, and I think we know that she can in the ring too. So I think that's why it's going to be really interesting and really compelling, you know, and has more of an air of uncertainty to it. So I think that I think is the one that I'm most interested in right now.
Yeah. I think Athena can go on a massive run in AEW, and as she should. I'm curious how the Ring of Honor title fits into it, though, just because you gotta drop that one eventually, right?
Yeah.
Or she relinquishes it.
There's no way she relinquishes it. That's just true. not with the record run that she's on with it right now. There's no
and
way.
Not with her character or personality either, you know?
Yeah. I mean, calling literally minions. But it's gotta be to a Ring of Honor wrestler. I feel like she has to lose the ROH title. It's, you know, not to circle back to what we were talking about earlier, but it's that title feels like it's in almost a similar situation to NXT TNA situation, where if the ROH Women's Championship is going to benefit someone, it really had better be, you know, someone in Ring of Honor. Yeah. And you,
Ozzy Osbourne died.
No way.
Well,
I just got an alert on my phone. Wow. Ozzy Osbourne died.
Holy crap.
That's some incredible.
He was like 80 something though, right?
Well, they just had the final mm-hmm. Black Sabbath show like a week ago.
Yeah.
Like a week and a half ago.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Well, rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne.
Just popped up on my phone.
Yeah, now you know when we recorded this, everyone. So there you go.
Yeah.
11:20 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Staying in.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll go ahead and wrap this up here. But yeah, I mean, look, I really do think that there is a lot of fun directions that AEW can go in. But there is one thing that I wanted to touch on that I have very much enjoyed. And I wanted to bring it up because I wanted to kind of gauge what you guys thought of this. So I'm watching AEW as I do. It's like Wednesdays is like my chill time. I have my little non-alcoholic beer, and you know, because I like to have beer, but I don't like to drink that much. And you know, I like to chill out and vibe out, watch my AEW. And one of the matches that was on the show this week was the $200,000 showdown gimmick thing.
$100,000,
whatever. It was a six-figure matchup for that was it. That was the whole point of it. Now, AEW have done a lot of these. At this point now, Scan, you did you do the math on it?
Yeah, I posted it in the writer's room as well.
How much was it?
It's just about $1.5 million so far that has been given away by Tony Khan. So it was there's 300,000
you can find in his sofa cushion.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, yeah. But it's like there was 300K trios, 100K four-way, 400K eight-man, 100K four-way, 100K four-way, 200K tag team, 4 million pesos. Let's not forget that one. And then randomly a 50K four-way in ROH, which is the one that so AR Fox has technically won two of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. AR Fox makes the money.
Yeah, he won the solo
just
one.
Just for reference,
four million
pesos is $214,429.60.
You're at roughly $1.5 million across all those matches, which is
it's amazing.
Been won by a very wide variety of people.
So the reason why I wanted to talk about this was two reasons. One, to talk about whether or not, you know, this has been a good use of storyline development, which we'll share our thoughts in a second. But the other I was watching with my wife and she's like, wait, they're fighting for money? And then it was like, yeah, you know, like, because, you know, Tony Khan's rich, I guess. And, you know, they're fighting for money. She's like, that's dumb. No one believes that they're actually getting this money, right? And I was like, well, babe, but do you actually believe that the person who is the champion won it because they physically dominated their opponent? Like, I don't.
But here's the thing, too. I don't know. I'm on her side.
Okay.
Really? I'm on her side.
Why? What's
and
up?
I'll tell you why. Because to this day, Speedball Mike Bailey has not been seen wearing a single shoe.
You know what? Man's not wrong.
Not a single shoe.
Man's not wrong. He has got new gear though.
Not even socks.
I mean,
he's yeah. like he. Come on. So, I mean, that reason alone completely takes me out of kayfabe.
That being said,
I blame Speedball Mike Bailey.
You are 100% right for that. So here's the thing, Speedball Mike Bailey. If you ever happen to watch this, wear the shoes. Show us the Carfax. Okay, what's going on here? So I did want to talk about this though because it actually has been scanned a really good driver of storylines. Like AR Fox's. AR Fox and Ricochet's whole interaction has been because AR Fox took money off of Ricochet's hands. That's like the whole reason why this is occurring. Has this kind of served the purpose? Is this something you think they should continue to do moving forward? Or is it like maybe on occasion you bust this out?
I mean, I think for a lot of these matches, they've just been really fun matches because, you know, even just the storyline mentality of, oh, these guys are going to put in the extra effort because they get a big cash out if they win. Just like the fact that it feels so much more of a scramble to me a lot of the times than a championship match style level of things. And that has fed into
crazier story. Yeah, yeah. And also the matches, right? As you had mentioned, the matches have been hectic, right? And which has been AEW style, right? But now there's actually like a kind of sort of justification as to why they can be so crazy, right?
I want to see the money used in the storyline. That's what I want. I want, like, you know, somebody to come out the next show just, you know, wearing the most ridiculous and just, you know, throwing money to people or using the money to make whoever they're in a storyline with to make their life a living hell.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would love to see something like that, you know, like that. That would be hilarious. I just want to see. I want to see the money mean something.
Sure. Like they've been using the money for stories, but now maybe we start to see how the money like actual tangible things.
Yes, that's what I want to see out of it. I want to see the money have the actual money have an effect on the storyline other than just, you beat me for 100 G's.
Yeah.
You scallywag. Like, I want to see, you know, someone use that money.
Who I think would be great with that? I think now that we have this new team of the Gates of Agony. Well, Christian Cage. But I was going to say, now we have this new team of the Gates of Agony and Ricochet. I would actually really like to see Ricochet lean into it. Like, he's been wearing his, like, his backwards hats. I would like to see him get fedoras. You know what I mean? I want to see Ricochet invest into more hat technology so that this way he can continues to hide the fact that he's bald.
I want him to win the money and start dressing like the Righteous Gemstones. Like, yes. That's how I want to see him.
He's already got the robe.
Know, just rings and
he's already got the robe. Yeah.
I want to see him. You know what would be funny to me is he's wearing like powdered wigs and shit.
Dude, I would fucking die. That would die.
Be hilarious to me, man. If he's, you know.
That'd be
week. This is a status symbol.
Yeah, right. I'm bringing this back. Like,
got Aaron hair 1 week, a powdered wig the other. Yes. Or like, just changing it up every week what hair he has. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would actually be fantastic. I really like this creativity that we're seeing out of AEW because, you know, like the Casino Gauntlet match, for example, it's really established itself as like, you know, an AEW format that they have now reliably leaned on multiple times now. This is their Royal Rumble. It works out really well. The Continental Classic becoming a thing. This is their G1 Climax. It's another thing that like works out really well for them. Like I like that they're stepping outside of the box with this stuff, you know, and just doing some different things. You know, there's never you try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's why I've always loved TNA, because they were the company that always does bizarre shit all the time. King of the Mountain match, Ultimate X match. Like, these are just bizarre matches and they work, you know, they work. So, you know, or you could just put Judy Bagwell on a pole, you know, like one or the other, right? Or Dominic Mysterio, which they should bring that back one day. They did it once. I say you do it again. All right. And that, of course, brings us to the end of the show and the greatest segment of all time, the Rebooked 24/7 Champion of Week, where we talk about the thing that brings us the most joy in the world of professional wrestling, or not. Doesn't matter. Just joy. Joy. That's all that matters. Anyone got? I can go first if anyone still has time to prepare.
I've got one for you as well.
You got one? Okay, I'll go first because my mind is pretty quick. So I mentioned how I have been utilizing YouTube to just find all sorts of pro wrestling stuff. Here's a really fun thing. Did you guys know that CMLL actually does like full-on shows like on their YouTube channel that they pump out on a regular basis, and it is fantastic. They just had a live show yesterday. I mean, look at this graphic right here. Esta es lucha. I mean, come on, everyone. There's a blue bear and a red bear. It's a podcast, and they're talking about lucha. There's no reason why you shouldn't be watching it. But great matches on there. They show their weekly shows all around Mexico. They just did the Arena de Puebla yesterday, which was super fun to watch. Just go watch more wrestling, and specifically some lucha libre, because it's awesome. And it's for free on YouTube. All you got to do is fucking subscribe, okay? Don't stop wasting time. Anyway, who wants to go next? Scan?
Yeah, I'll go real quick.
All right.
Again, posting a quick picture in here in the chat for y'all. We talked about the entrances at Slammiversary, how great they were. There it is.
Okay.
Trick Williams gear coming out to Slammiversary was a direct reference to Booker T's time in TNA.
I didn't realize that.
And I really, really loved that touch to his entrance gear that he was wearing there. It was a really great nod to someone who has been utterly pivotal in his career. A nod in a way TNA. He couldn't really do anywhere else. Exactly. That, like, this was the time and place he could have possibly done this. It was it was a nice touch. I really liked that part of his entrance as well. So I'm going to give that one to Trick. I really liked this.
I will say the TNA belt does look good on Trick. It looks very good on him. So, I mean, it's also a gorgeous belt. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard to make it look bad. But yeah, that's a sick one. I like that one. Let's bring it back up on the screen again. If you are watching this on YouTube, if you're listening on a Spotify or Apple Podcasts, it's the same jacket that Booker T wore, and Trick wears it as well. Really, really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Jake, what about you? What's yours?
I've got a wrestling one and a non-wrestling one. My wrestling one, I think has got to go to Leon Slater.
Yeah.
He's the youngest ever X Division champion.
Yeah.
TNA pulled the trigger exactly when they needed to. And there's nobody more deserving. And the match was phenomenal.
Yeah, it really
was. No pun intended. It was really, really good. That whole big sequence kind of in the middle where it was like, okay, this is it. Leon's about to get the pin, and then Moose kicks out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, come on, man, don't do this. Don't do this to Leon. Don't do this to the rest of us. And then he won. It was so good.
Yeah.
It was an incredible match. I loved what Moose did after.
And Matt and Tom, by the way, were incredible on commentary. Yes. I will never tell this to Matt's face, but like, seriously,
he is talented and a wonderful human being.
He really is, but he will never.
Why wouldn't you say that to his face?
We will never say that to his face.
He was making so many Destiny references during the tag title match. It was so funny.
He said by the love of Lodi.
For the love of Lodi, and then he made
honestly. Yeah. That's a good line. For the love of Lodi, I think he should keep using that one. Anyway, Jake, keep going. Sorry about that, bud.
No, it's okay. But that was really good. And on a show that had a lot of great matches, you know, we didn't even talk about it that much. Scan did mention it, but that opening match with Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander was also a banger. It was really good. I think Mustafa Ali legitimately needs a lumbar check after that match.
Yeah.
Because like his spine got to be all wonky right now.
Yeah, a little twist in some areas.
But Leon Slater is my wrestling 24/7 champion of the week. My non-wrestling 24/7 champion of the week is Stephen Colbert.
Yes. Yeah.
A legend. If you don't know why, just go read the news. Stephen Colbert. Show being canceled for financial reasons. Does the company who just spent $1.5 billion for a TV show only for 5 years? Sure, it was a financial decision, not having to do anything with him being critical of the current administration and them wanting to try to get an $8 billion merger.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched The Daily Show last night, I with Jon Stewart, I highly suggest you go watch it.
It was amazing.
But even on Colbert last night, like all of the current, I mean, save for Kimmel, all of the current late night hosts guest appeared on there.
Yeah.
And do you know how badly you have to have fucked up to get Jimmy Fallon to take a stand on anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, because I think he sees the writing on the wall as well. Right.
Like, as we all should yeah. Like that. And so that's it. Yeah. It's just anyway, it's all very frustrating. It's very frustrating from the perspective of someone who, is a comedian and, you know, wants to continue.
Dude, and writers, right? Like, you know how many writers have gone through, you know, the late night show structure to find success? Yep. Like that, like the...
Including Colbert himself.
And I know we don't obviously touch on politics and stuff here, so we don't really need to. But I cannot stress enough that this isn't normal. This isn't normal. And just take that for what it's worth. This isn't normal. So I think because we are all students of the craft of entertainment and the arts, I would like to give it to the legend, Stephen Colbert, who I have gladly watched for many years, even if I didn't agree with everything that he did. Like, I didn't like his Zoran Mamdani interview, but you know what? He still did it, and I still respect him for it, because that is what it means to be an American. In any case, though, folks, that is going to do it for us here today. Scan, thank you so much for joining us. Very much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Shout out to Matt. Of course, he was not with us this week, but he will hopefully be back next week. I do declare. So we will be back, you know, in action next week. And if he's not, well, Scan's coming back in. So there we go. No, but he should be good. But yeah, but folks, we thank you so much for tuning in as always. If you happen to enjoy the show, make sure you give it a like. You can also subscribe here on YouTube, right? You join us. We have a Discord down below. You could join there as well to talk about, you know, wrestling. We got spoiler section. We also have non-wrestling sections as well. Good small community. Meet folks, like-minded folks who enjoy the same things that we do. And if you want to follow us on all the social media platforms, why don't you just go ahead and check us out at www.rebookpod.com. There you find links to all of our social media. You can go once again to www.rebook.com, rebookpod.com. Good Lord. Anyway, thank you, everyone. We'll catch y'all next time. Take care. See you soon. Peace.
Release the Epstein files. See you. Yeah.